This morning for our scripture reading, we'll be reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 11. I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me there to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and follow along with the good news. Here, 2 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 7. Everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. And that way, you will have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for every kind of good work. As it is written, He scattered everywhere. He gave to the needy. His righteousness remains forever. The one who supplies seed for planting and bread for eating will supply and multiply your seed and will increase your crop, which is righteousness. And you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous in every way. Such generosity produces thanksgiving to God through us. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, may the reading and hearing of these words lead us into your generous grace. In Jesus' name, amen. So generosity has always been, giving of money and finances has always been an interpretive dance in our faith and in our religious tradition. When we look back through the scriptures, we can see the first instance of giving comes from two brothers known as Cain and Abel. The first one, Cain, the older brother, when he gave a gift to God, he gave it sincerely, and God accepted it. Then his little brother Abel gave to God. When he gave, he considered what he wanted to give to God, and he gave his best. And for that, God was well pleased. But later on, Melchizedek celebrated Abram's victory with wine and bread, a precursor to communion. But then Abram gave to Melchizedek one-tenth of everything he owned. Now, Melchizedek was the king of Salem, the city of peace, and he was priest to the Most High God. His figure was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. But then, after God guided Moses to rescue the Hebrew people, God's children, the Israelites, from their slavery in Egypt, their bondage and cruel oppression, God brought them to the holy mountain there at Mount Sinai and gave them the law. And in the law were commandments to give to God of your first fruits, your best, and to tithe, or one-tenth of your income. This tithe was to support the work of the priests. Yet there were additional offerings in addition to your first fruits and to your tithe. And these additional offerings and sacrifices were to be made throughout the year during certain holy days and certain holy seasons. And these offerings and givings were based on whether you were rich and how rich you were or how poor you were. And then that remained the tradition. And even until Jesus came along, that continued to be the tradition, except that some priests had corrupted a little bit because they would even take the widow's last few pennies. And others would make a judgment of your offering as you came and decide whether it was good enough or whether it was as much as they thought you should give. And if it wasn't, then they could bar you from the temple and keep you from worshiping in community. That's one of the reasons why Jesus was flipping tables in the temple. But just like in those days, just like in Scripture, today we still wrestle with how to give to God. And our finances and our relationship with God have always been closely intertwined and interlinked, that whenever we think about finances, we should always think about our relationship with God. Whenever we think about how we use our money, we should think about how we are being disciples with it, because few things interfere with our growth as a disciple more than our desire for money and wealth. So today we're thinking about generosity. We're focusing on generosity and what biblical generosity looks like. And it's important that we explore how God is a generous God and how the early church responded to God's generosity and how the first Christians lived out into a generous life because of God's generosity. So let's first consider, what does God require of us? Well, in Deuteronomy 10:12, God said to love and serve God with all your heart and being for your own good. And then, of course, we've spent the past several weeks studying Micah 6:8 as we're learning that God wants us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. And these were always just as, if not more important than what we gave. We see in both Matthew 23:23 and in Luke 11:42 where Jesus was frustrated with the religious leaders because they were always giving their tithe. They never failed to give their tithe of everything they could. Yet, they often failed to offer justice and peace and mercy and faith. They often failed to show compassion and love. And Jesus said these were the more important matters of the law, that we ought to do one without neglecting the other. And so there's a great sense of God's generosity demonstrated in Jesus' life and in his teachings and everything he did. And the early church embraced this sense of generosity when they collected offerings and worship, and then they adjusted their tithe system to start bringing whatever they could spare. Often wealthy people would sell their extra or their extra homes or their extra land, and they would bring the extra offering to the church so that all people were able to have what they needed and that no one went without their needs being met. The Apostle Paul then built on this understanding of generosity as he raised money, as he went out and preached at different churches and helped start at different churches, and then would revisit them and raise money through them to help start more churches or to strengthen churches and to help those in need. He was always working to strive and to raise and to help support these struggling churches. In fact, that's exactly what Paul is doing here in 2 Corinthians in chapters 8 and 9. He's encouraging generosity by drawing upon Old Testament scriptures to inspire their giving. But even as he does this, he uses theologically laced words. I mean, even the word generosity has a deep theological meaning. In Greek, the word that we have interpreted as generosity comes from the Greek word aplotos, which literally means a sincere gift, a gift without an agenda, without expecting anything in return. You know, it's the same word that is used as the state of the heart when we say we believe in Jesus, that we are following and we are giving our life to Christ, that we sincerely believe in Christ. We generously believe in Christ. And here Paul is applying that same word to sincerely or generously give. Now, Paul prefaces this argument that God is a generous God, that all that we have, God has given us, and God gives seed to the sower. In other words, the one who helps share God's goodness will find that God provides them with the gifts to give. And then Paul continues his encouragement of generosity with the same encouragement that applies to us today. So I'm going to extrapolate on that a little bit, that we should be generous. For what you give, just as Paul says, helps unify the church. It brings us together for a common cause, for the common good, to teach and share the faith, to save souls, to strengthen the weak, and to multiply the work of the kingdom of God. Be generous, for giving benefits the giver, that God rewards those who give. Matthew 6:3, Jesus says that when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that when you give in secret. In other words, don't brag about what you're giving. And that way your Father in heaven, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. Be generous, for your gift is a blessing, and you are blessed to be a blessing. That what you give helps meet the needs of others. It helps share the faith, feed the hungry, heal the hurting, clothe the naked, and shelter the homeless. finally, be generous. And this is the ultimate reason to give, as Paul says, that what you give will be to the glory of God. You know, we see Jesus came, he was incarnate, he was human, and he lived this perfect, powerful life. He died on the cross, and then he defeated death through his resurrection, all for you, but also all to glorify God. And we receive the benefit of his life, his death, and his resurrection. We are the fruit of his labor. And your life, the fruit of your labor, can be a blessing to God, so that others might know Christ because of you. Yet Paul also cautions us as we give. He says, yes, be generous, yet give only after carefully considering and deliberating what you can give. For example, if you have a modest home and a modest vehicle and you're working to make payments on those, you got bills to pay. You need to take care of those things. Yet, if you're working on your vacation home or your retirement home or working on some investment houses, then you need to sincerely consider if you're really giving to God generously. And we read in Luke 12:48, where Jesus says, to whom much is given, much is required, much is expected. But also in Romans 12:8, that God loves a cheerful giver. That there is pure joy in uncalculated giving. That there is such a great sense of joy that is hard to find anywhere else when you give, not expecting anything in return. Now, I'm preparing for a Wesley History and Heritage trip in the spring where we're going to travel to England. And I'm doing a lot of reading on early Methodism. And I came across this great quote from John Wesley where he says, money never stays with me. It would burn me if it did. I throw it out of my hands as soon as possible, lest it should find a way into my heart. Wow. He sure was on fire for Jesus. Maybe that can be us. Let's be passionate about the gospel of Jesus and generous with the things of God, how God has blessed us, and how we are made in God's image. After all, if you're going to be kind, be just, and be humble, then you're going to be generous. If you're going to love God with all your heart and all your heart and all your mind and all your body and all your soul and all your strength with everything you've got, if you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, then you're going to be generous. It's no wonder that loving God and loving neighbor emerges out of our relationship with God. It's no wonder that being just, merciful, kind, and humble emerges out of our relationship with God. And in the same way, our generosity emerges out of our relationship with God. As we think about that, I want to share with you some ways you can be generous. As I mentioned earlier, this week you should have received our Be Generous packet in the mail. If you didn't, let us know. We'll get you one. But in that packet was this booklet about giving generously, and then there was also a card. And I'll talk more about this card here in a second. But inside the book was information about the church, how we use finances, where they go, what they fund, what we need to collect to help fully fund our ministries, and there are ways to give. And I want you to make sure you take some time to read this, to really understand what is going on, to see the financial transparency of our church, but also so that you know that what you're giving is supporting. And in here is a list of ways and how you can give, and I'm just going to go through those just a little bit. You know, many of us, most of us, we give with cash or check, and you can always do that because that is the easiest, old-fashioned way to give. That's how I've done it most of the time up until recently, and I'll say more of that in a second. But there's also ways where you can give online. You can go onto your bank and use your banking apps to send checks to the church or to send electronic deposits to the church from your bank account to the church's bank account. You can give online digitally through our giving app or on our webpage. In fact, on the back of your bulletin, there's information on how you can give online. There's a little QR code you can scan right down here. And then in the pew back in front of you, there's this little green card that tells you how to give online and how to give through our website or give through the church app or even text to give. So we make it easy. Any way you can do it. But did you also know that you can give stocks or bonds? You can give livestock, and if you work in the agriculture, you can give produce. You can add the church to your will or your trust. And you can even have the church be the beneficiary of your designated quarterly disbursements or your mandatory quarterly disbursements. And there are ways that you can do any of those right there that have special tax benefits if that's something that you are into. And so if you want to know how to do that, reach out to the church this week and we'll be able to help you do that. But you can also, as I said, include the church in your will and trust and leave a lasting legacy that will continue to change lives long after you're gone. But one of the other ways we can give has become my new favorite way to give, and that's through ACH. ACH stands for Automatic Clearinghouse, and it's really easy. All you do is fill out a form for the church, a little banking information, a voided check, and then you can control when and how often and how much you give to the church without ever having to worry about what you're going to put in the plate. And we've made it super easy by including one in your booklet. But here's what I love about this kind of giving, is that you can set it up to happen regularly, so that way when you're on vacation or some Sunday if you're sick, that you don't forget to put your offering in the plate and you can continue to give and support the church and the ministry of the church, even if you miss a Sunday. But as we think about what we're giving and what we're going to give and how we're supporting and how to be generous, Paul ends his letter on generosity here in 2 Corinthians 9:15 by saying this. He says, "Thank God for his gift that words can't describe." That is, let us give thanks for the generous gifts that you are giving and will continue to give. But more importantly, let us give thanks for Jesus Christ who inspired your gift-giving and generosity. Let us give thanks. Amen.